Philippians chapter 3, with verses 8 through 16, with emphasis on 12 through 15. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 16. With emphasis again on verses 12 through 15. Hear the reading of God's holy word. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. An emphasis on these three verses coming here. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have obtained. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Let us pray. Father, as we go into this time of opening up your word, Father, we pray you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit and through your word, Lord, that we may grow, Lord, that you may change our hearts, draw us nearer to you and further from the sin that we have in our lives. Cleanse us from it, Lord. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins through Christ. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Every year, at least on every year that I've ever taught, at the end of the year, I always reflect on what worked and what didn't work, what was good and what I liked, and what I was going to do different from last year as to how I was going to do it for the next year, for the next school year anyway. And most of us tend to reflect on our lives, especially as you get older. You tend to reflect on what's been good and what's not been good. You tend to think about what you'd like to see happen or what you want to see happen. Because we all need vision. We all need to have some kind of vision in life because we live to please God and to see what he would have for us. So what is the year 2014 going to bring for you this year? What is your vision for 2014? I tell you, for me, 2014 just feels unreal. It feels very, very odd to say those numbers. Because when I think about it, I'm still living like it's the year 1999. And it's not. So what goals have you set for the new year? What goals are you trying to achieve? You know, almost every year, I set new physical goals. I always want to lose weight. And usually I will lose weight a little while and I'll gain weight a little while. So I'm in the process of doing a little bit of both. But I also generally try to think about my spiritual life. How are you closer to the Lord this year, and how is it different this year than it was, say, 5 years ago? What have you learned, and how are you closer to the Lord than you were 5 years ago or 10 years ago? And maybe some of y'all can't say that for 10 years ago, but some of you can think back 20 years ago how close you were to the Lord, and some can look 30 years ago, and we won't go past there. But usually you try to make some kind of goals and try to take some kind of steps to achieve those goals. And this year you need to try to set some kind of spiritual goals and try to strive to achieve them for the glory of God. Now, the book of Philippians was written by Paul, and it was during his Roman imprisonment. Philippi was a Roman colony, and Paul wrote this to the Philippians because he had been there. He had helped to establish this church, or he had gone there with the help of the Lord, established the church. And he had written to them with joy and gratitude about how they were doing in their faith, but he also had warnings to them about conflicts in the church and about false teaching. And so it was a good thing for them to hear this letter that he wrote to them. And he wrote to encourage them. This year, the thing I want us to focus on is how our spiritual lives need to be found through Christ, our Savior, how they need to be found victorious, and how we need to get them to the place that God would have us to be this year, at the end of the year. So at the end of 2014, what are you going to say is different? When you look at December 31st next, at the end of this year, what are you going to say was different than what is right now? And there's not a person in this room, including myself, that shouldn't be asking that question. How's it going to be different? What will be different? Because I don't know about you. I know for a fact I've not arrived. I'm nowhere near where I need to be. Every year I see things, I grow, and I know that the Lord has plans and purposes for me that I never even thought were possible a few years before. The first thing I want us to look at is, in setting our spiritual goals, we have to understand that we need to put the past behind us. And when I say you need to put the past behind you, what does that mean? Paul, in this scripture, he tells us that he says, not that I've already obtained this. In other words, not that he's already reached this righteousness that God has given him through Christ, but he's in the process of sanctification. He is in that process and it's ongoing. He says, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do. He tells them, one thing I do. And he stresses this one thing. He says, forgetting what lies behind. Forgetting what lies behind. Why would he tell them to forget what lies behind? What is the significance of forgetting what lies behind and serving Christ? In order to move ahead, sometimes you've got to put the past behind you. You know, this is imagery of a race that Paul sees himself in and the Christian sees ourselves in, because our lives are picturesque of a race that we are running for Jesus Christ. And my race seems to get faster every year. The years go by super fast. Forgetting what lies behind. Because if you're always focusing on what lies behind, how can you run the race that you're in now? First of all, you know, it's not wrong to think about what has happened in the past. But sometimes it can turn into something bad whenever you dwell in the past. Because when you think about what happened in the past, you tend to romanticize the past. You tend to think about, oh, it was so much better in years past. You know, when I look about, you know, when I was here 20 years ago, it was so much better. You know, you can think about all those kids. And we can think about, you know what? It's so much better right now. It's always better. The time that we're in is the time that is better. You can't look at the past. The past was meant for a reason, for time and a special thing for those people who were there then. We're here for now. We can't romanticize the past and think about it as being better. Things may have been different in the past, but they're not necessarily better. You know, you may think the opportunities were better. You may think that the times were better. The government was better. But you think about this, you tend to forget that it is the power of God that makes any time a good time. It's not a particular period of time in the past. It's not 40 years ago that it was so much better. It's the power of God in people's lives that make a time good or not good. Secondly, Paul doesn't want them to live their lives, their Christian lives, on what they've done in the past, because when you live your lives on what you've done in the past, you don't want to do anything else. You might tend to think, I've done enough. I've done this and that. And you might say, well, I can list you all the things I've done in my Christian life, and you may think you've checked it all off and you've done just about all that you need to do for Christ. And it would be easy to do that. And if everybody checks off everything about what they need to do for Christ and they think they've done it all, then I guess we can shut the doors of the church and just go home. Because if we're living our lives based on the past, why does the doors of the church need to be open now? We don't live based on the past. You forget. It's not that you can't remember about the things that were good in the past. It's you cannot focus on those things in the past. You need to dwell on what God is doing in you now. Our duty and devotion to God is never complete, as long as we're able to function in some way. Thirdly, the other thing is when we dwell in the past, sometimes we're consumed by our failures. And, you know, Paul may have been consumed by the things that he didn't quite get to do in his life. He may have thought about, you know, I really wanted to do this. I wanted to go to this church and I wanted to go back to this church. And he may have not been fulfilled in order to do those things and may have considered it a failure. Now, I don't know that is true, but I'm just saying he may have felt that way. I know he longed to see many of the churches that he helped to establish and wasn't able to go back to. Sometimes you're not able to do all the things that you have wanted to do in the past. And you look back in the past and you think of yourself as having failed in that in a certain way. So you cannot concentrate on what you didn't accomplish in the past because the past is gone. We don't have the past. And I love those movies where you look at people going back in time. And they're going back in time trying to fix things in time. But the fact is, it'll never happen. It would be very nice to be able to go back in time and to fix this or to tell myself things in order to change things. But we're not granted that opportunity, are we? So Paul gives us some advice. Forget what is behind. Forget it. Don't forget it in the ways. Just don't focus on it. Don't let it be what drives you. Isaiah speaks of the Lord telling the Israelites something very similar in Isaiah 43:18 and 19. He says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. So that's in Isaiah 43:18 and 19. Not only are we to not dwell in the past, but we're also to understand that the present is to be pressing onward. The present is not just that we're here. It is a pressing onward. I love the hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching Us to War. And that's what we are. We're soldiers of Christ and we're not stationary. We're not just here, we're moving forward for the cause of Christ. And it's where you are right now and where you're going and where you need to be. It's a movement forward. It's not a movement backwards. Paul says, you are forgetting what is behind. You are straining towards what is ahead. Straining. That idea of straining pictures in my mind earnestly moving forward through Christ, through His strength and His power, in order to serve Him and all that He has for us. It's not an easy thing. Straining toward what lies ahead. You're in that race and you're tired and it's almost over. Do you look backwards? No, because that would cost you the race. Do you slow down? Not hardly. But do you sprint with all of your might, reaching for that ribbon? I think of the race and I think of those times where the people are straining toward reaching that ribbon. It's a close race. There's two people maybe going neck and neck, and one reaches out and grabs the ribbon. And that's the way it is in our Christian life. We don't need to slow down in our Christian life. We need to really strive. Make some goals. Make some things for your Christian life. Don't slow down in your Christian life. Don't think that you've arrived. Paul says, again, he says, not that I've already obtained this, I'm already perfect. Paul knows he's not perfect, just like each of us. We know we're not perfect. We need to strive and strain ahead to go before us. Again, that word straining comes from a Greek word, and I cannot pronounce it. I could try to. It's epektein nominos, and it means to strain or to stretch out towards the goal that lies before me. The one thing I would tell you today is 50 years for me is a short time. Yesterday, I was 30. Before that, I was 18. Before that, I was 12. And then I was 6. It just seems like I blink my eyes and the years go by fast. Next year, I'll be 70 or 80. I don't know. It just seems like they go by that fast. The thing about it is that we need to use the time that we have to serve God, to let the light of Christ shine in our lives, to share with others what God has done in us, to pray if we have opportunity in front of others, to always let the love of God shine in our hearts to those around us. Straining ahead, it's not going to be an easy process. Living a Christian life is never easy. It is something that requires thought. It requires, above all, the strength of God in our lives. We can't do it ourselves. Sally was saying in our Bible study a while ago, we need to be on our knees begging God for strength each and every day to be able to go out in the world and to live a life that is pleasing to God, asking for strength to be able to make an impact on the world that is around us, not just merely to exist, not just merely to say that we're Christians, but to live a Christian life, to live in such a way that is pleasing for Christ. So, where do you fit in serving God? Some of you may say, well, I don't really, you know, I've served God in the past, but I don't really know what my talent is. You may say you're too young ever, or you may say you're older, and there is no place that you can serve. There's always a place and a way that you can serve God. Always. Some ways that nobody else will ever see you serve God. And that's the best way. Nobody has to see you. Only God needs to know. You need to take every opportunity. Many years ago, when Mom was still living, and she was sick, and she would say to me, she says, I don't know how I can serve God anymore. She said, I'm not really able to do anything. All I'm ever able to do is just to tell those workers that come in, to nurses to come in to help me about what God has done for me. I said, there you go. What do you think it is? You're not going to go and you're not going to do anything to them. You're just going to simply share with them, because you don't know what impact that you might make on one person with one or two words. A smile. You don't know what it means to be able to listen to somebody, to be there, to love somebody that everybody else has rejected. But you've decided to love them with the love of God. Many years ago, there was he was a friend of ours. His name was Sears. It wasn't Sears, it was Lance. And he had the last name of Roebuck. I just remembered his Sears and Roebuck, you know. His name was Lance Roebuck. And Lance was a little bit of an odd character. He was in college. He was a little bit of an odd character. And I just remember somebody in my group of friends said that they were going to be a friend to this guy. And they said, because Jesus would be a friend to him. And boy, that stuck with me. I thought to myself, I don't care how different you are, you better be a friend to the one around you, because you don't know. Jesus commanded us to love those people around me. And what he said to me, and just that Jesus went to those who were unloved, stuck with me from then on. And so Lance was my friend from then on. I decided, okay, if he needs to love him, I need to love him and be his friend as well. And I need to look at those people who are unlovable in our eyes and to show them love. So the present means to press on, to strain forward in your Christian walk. Sit down and make you a list this week. Sit down and make you a list. What are you going to do differently this year? Make you a list. How are you going to grow? When you plant your garden in the spring, if some of you have ever had gardens, you make a list of what you want to plant. You want to see what you want to harvest and everything. What do you want to be like? Make that list. I need to do it too. Ask me. Keep me on my toes. The final thing is to know what the prize is. Paul says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul prized heaven. He prized it. He valued it. It was everything to him to be in the place where God was. And is. Jesus was everything to him. He gave up a fairly easy life to live a very tough life, because he prized what Jesus had done for him on the cross. It was his prize. Our prize is heaven. It's eternal life with God through Christ Jesus forever. God had called Paul to that race, and God granted him that prize whenever Paul eventually died. And he had the eternal life with Christ forever. So his prize was eternal life. The scripture in Matthew 6:21 says, whatever your treasure may be, there your heart will be also. Love the scripture. Wherever your treasure will be, there will be your heart also. The prize for which God had called Paul and them and all who trust in the saving life and death and resurrection of is heavenward in Jesus Christ. It means that there is more to this life, much more. There's eternal life in heaven with Jesus Christ. Revelation 21:1-4 says this, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." That's our prize. One day we will spend eternity with the Creator, the Redeemer, the one who's saved us from our sin, the one who will one day wipe away every tear from our eyes. And I don't know about you, but there are some days when I get so frustrated in this life, the prize is not here. It's not. There's nothing prizeful. I mean, we can look at and we can find beauty in all of God's creation, but this is not the prize. You know, we go to the mountains or we go to the beach and we see the beautiful things that God has created and they're gorgeous. But they're nothing compared to the surpassing greatness and beauty of our Lord and Savior in eternity that we'll spend with God. Nothing like it. We could go all over the world looking at all of the wonders that God has made and find nothing that compares. You know, how long will we live on this earth? It used to scare me so bad thinking about dying. Now, I don't want to die early. If I can live, I'd like to live another 20, 30, 40 years. I don't know about 50. But when I was young, it scared me. About the process, it doesn't scare me anymore. Because when you close your eyes in death, you'll awaken to heaven in eternity with God forever. He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. So we live our lives. I work with a group of Muslim boys, and always interesting to look at somebody who is very different from you, very unusual. And I do have an opportunity to pray for these guys and to just get an insight into their minds and to be able to hopefully have a witness in their lives. And that's my intent to do. But in talking to them one day, a lot of them work in these convenience stores. And which is very, 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 very dangerous to work in. If you work in the convenience store, somebody comes and robs you with a gun, they're liable to shoot you, kill you dead. And I was talking to one day, and he said, yeah, they a lot of people hate them instantly, hate them, completely hate them, point blank. And he said, "I know it's a possibility that someone will come in our store, will pull a gun, rob me, and then shoot me." He said, in his eyes, it's okay to die. I thought, it's very sad that he doesn't know the Christ that I know, but what boldness he has to be willing to die. I wasn't at that stage when I was his age. We need to know. Nothing can take our lives as long as we're found in Christ. Nothing can. This life is nothing. We're here to serve God, to do His will. And when He decides to call us home, it's okay. It's all right. It's not a bad thing. We tend to get all unbounded because we want things to be the way they've always been. But I can't wait to what they're going to be in the future. Don't look back at what's been in the past. Don't focus on that. strain toward the future. Make a list of everything that you want to see different this year. Press on toward that prize. And then remember what it is that you're gaining. You're not doing it to gain Christ. Christ has paid that debt already, but you will gain eternal life because of what Christ has done for you. Always keeping the prize in your mind. Every morning that you wake up, you ought to praise God and thank God for eternal life and thank Him that He died on that cross for you. Thank Him that He made a way. Otherwise, we wouldn't have any hope at all. Let us close in prayer.